I want to quickly get into the Word of God today because we want to walk the Word and discover what it means to have the kingdom of heaven on earth. I think there's a series, and the one most wonderful prayer I learned as a child was the prayer that my mom taught me, which was, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom, thy will be on earth as it is." We all learned the prayer, and it's one of the most powerful prayers you're ever going to hear. And I learned it. And today we want to really understand, what does that mean for you as a believer, as a church, for that to happen? And today we want to learn about an incredible facet that is necessary for the kingdom of heaven to arrive here on earth. And that's the local church. I want to teach you what that means in the scriptures. But before I do, I need you to understand how important the local church really, really, really is. Last week we talked about four things that were very important. If you want to find out what your true north here is at Frontier Church, if you want to discover your full potential, there are only four things you need to do. And within those four things, God will reveal to you the will of the Father for your life here at Frontier. These four things, that's all you have to do, and I want to show you what they are. Would you put them on the screen for me, please? These four things, if you can do these four things here at Frontier, you will find yourself on the path to your destiny. Number one, attend weekend services faithfully. Attend weekend services faithfully. That's the one I'm going to focus on today. I'll read the others just for your sake as we go on. Number two, complete growth track and attend a Bible encounter. That's what we're going to be doing first of Wednesday of each month. I want to encourage you in October. I wrote a book, Hell is Real, an Eyewitness Account. I want you to read that book. I only have 100 copies. I'll sign everyone. But that night, you'll learn more about what the Bible says and my personal encounter with that. Number three, join a Catalyst team. And number four, serve, whether in your church or in your city. But I want to focus on the first one. The first one is attend weekend services faithfully. Everybody say faithfully. Faithfully. We're in a culture where we kind of do it here, there. We come one weekend, maybe not the next weekend. But I'm going to show you through the scriptures why it's important to attend faithfully. There's a reason for it. And let me start off by a story of, you know, that happened to some members of our church. True story. And I think it plays a lot to do with church. This family of three went to the beach, and they were out swimming, and the wife decided to get on one of those rafts, you know, those floating rafts you get on. And she got on the raft, and she just kind of was just relaxing into the sunlight. And, you know, sometimes you can get on a raft, and you can be floating along. But how many know if you're just in church floating along, after a while, you're going to drift away? How many know that? If you're not engaged with what you're doing, you're going to sit on there and enjoy, hey, this is awesome. And then you're going to look up, and you're going to find yourself so far away from shore. And then you wonder, what's wrong with my life? It's because the nature of the ocean is to draw you away from safety. This lady was floating on this little float, and she woke up, and she realized she was in the middle of nowhere. I mean, she knew she was in trouble because there were seagulls over the top of her. Anybody know when you see seagulls, you got issues? Everybody say issues. That's because underneath her were fish, and underneath those fish were probably sharks. I think Jaws just killed me when I saw that movie. It just messed me up. So she's out there floating on the water, and she wasn't paying attention. She was just floating. And the next thing you know, the husband's on shore. He's looking for his wife, and sure enough, he looks out, and he sees her far away, and he begins to panic because the water's pretty choppy. So he's like, oh my God, how am I going to get it? And so he jumps in the water to go after his wife. And he gets stuck out there. How many know sometimes when you, if one of you is floating out there and the other has to chase him, both of you are at risk. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, you know, here I'm going to tell you the solution, how to solve this. The solution for the two of the couple, they were out there, the waves were blowing, they couldn't get back in the shore, they were panicking, where the little son was on the shoreline. And he looks out there, sees his mom and his dad, his whole family, floating away in the horizon. And he said something very simple. He said, Lord, I need you to calm the waves so my mom and dad could come back home. All they know later on was that instantly while they were out there, the waves went. And the next thing you know, it drew them back into shore. And they reunited as a family. What am I saying? Unless you see church with eyes like a child, you will find that you will drift away. Church, I want to encourage you today that church is one of the most important places to be. And that's why I say, you know what? When you come to Frontier, our tenet is that you attend church faithfully. And by doing that, that means to attend and invite somebody. And I want to show you that this isn't just a Frontier thing. This is a biblical thing. I want you to open up your Bibles, if you will. And I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll go there first. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 22. But I want to say this, you know, when the Bible says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In other words, there is a conquering kingdom coming to the earth. Now, how does a conquering kingdom begin to take over a territory? Can anybody tell me? Any idea? You can see it in America. What happens? They colonize. Somebody say colonize. And so what they do is they don't leave their nation of authority. They send a colony somewhere and infiltrate that area that they're going to conquer. Well, let me tell you what the colony on earth is. It is called the local church. Somebody say amen. So the Lord says, I want my kingdom to come, but before I enter fully, I must set up a colony. And that is what we call the local church. And they are set up in an area. Now, what I want to do for you today is I want to teach you the power of the local church and bringing that kingdom to where you are. And I want to show you how the church can help you reach your full potential. I want you to put your finger out like that. Just point at me, please. Point at me, please. Everybody point, okay? And I want you to turn it to your neighbor to your left or right. There you go. Just turn it and say it's going to help you reach your full potential. Tell them. That's what it's going to do if you let it. So the question then becomes, what is the church? What is the church that's designed by God to help you reach your full potential? I want to explain something first. Write this down if you have your pen, paper, or iPad, or whatever you use, the back of someone's head, whatever you need. This is a very powerful definition. The local church includes all believers from every age, both the Old Testament and the New. The church is every single believer that has ever been born on this planet, from the Old Testament to the New Testament to today. Every single one of those people is the church. That's a lot of people. Now, I want to show you something. That goes from Moses to David to Adam to people like Charles Spurgeon, Catherine Coleman, T.D. Jakes, Billy Graham, all of these people, every one of you sitting next to each other, you represent the church that is alive today. You are a part of the kingdom of God. Now listen, out of all those people, only one person rises among them all. I want you to read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, and I want to read it to you. And this is going to, we're going to read about this one man who is in charge of the entire church. Ephesians 1 and 22, God has put all things under the authority of Christ. That is the man. And he has made him head over all things. For what reason? For the benefit of the church. This is why we pray in Jesus' name, because he, when we pray in his name, it is to help the church. How many are part of the church? Let me see your hands in the air. It's to help you. We don't just say, well, God, do this. We say, in Jesus' name, because he has the headship over the entire church from all generations. Watch this, verse 23. And the church is his. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills things everywhere with himself. Let me tell you something. The reason why church works is that when you let Jesus fill it, then he will make it work. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you have a church without Jesus, you don't have a church. You have a gathering. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so the role of Christ is to invade your nature. It's to get involved with your life. He is engaged with your schedule. Watch this. This is so critically important that he is the head of the church from people from all ages, from the beginning of time to now. And so as a result of that, Hebrews 12 tells us what we should do. Look at 12 and 1. We are surrounded. Everybody say, we're surrounded. In other words, there's not a saint that is dead. Every one of them is alive. He is not the God of the dead, but all those saints who died in Christ are alive right now. Here's what the Bible tells us we should be aware of. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us, that means us in church today, strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. There are too many of us around. The church, from people from the 1800s, 1600s, they're here, they're alive, they're existing, they're in heaven right now, they're watching. There's a testimony, a cloud of witnesses everywhere. And the church itself is an extension of Jesus. We are him in the flesh. So I want to explain to you that Jesus gives us definition of what the church is. It's an extension of himself. If he is the way, the truth, and the life, so what should the church be? I want to show you something. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. I want you to write this down. The church serves as the standard source of truth. Write that down. The church serves as the standard source of truth. Number one, the main purpose of church and why you should be there every weekend attending faithfully is because, you know what? You're going to get bombarded with a lot of things that are not true. Somebody say amen. I mean, you just sit in front of your television just for a little while and you're going to get bombarded with information that is not true. The church serves as that location that is the source of truth. I want you to look at 1 Timothy 3:14. I'm going to read this to you. In the New Testament, this gathering of believers is called by many names, but I want to see what it says in 1 Timothy. It says, I am writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon. Paul was writing to the apostle to the pastor Timothy and said, I want to get with you. But in verse 15, he says this, so that if I am delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. This is the church of the dead God. This is the church of the living God, which is what? The pillar. Watch this, guys. He calls the church the pillar and foundation of truth. It is the source of truth in our world today. Guys, you're going to get bombarded with a lot of stuff. And the way that you get that filtered out, I mean, my goodness, every week you're going to get some of that. But how do you get that out of your system? You come to church and let the word of God envelop your nature and reset the button so that you can hear God again, be refreshed again. I don't know about you, but how many have ever been, I know for me, years ago, there was a time in my life where I got, you know, just, you know, you go to church so long and then you just kind of get, you just, it's church. And you think in terms of just showing up, and it's no big deal. And then you start to say, well, you know, I really don't need to be there this weekend. And they don't really need me, so I won't go next weekend. And before long, you're like that lady on that raft drifting away. And you never know it until you're way out there. And then you start to realize you're thinking certain ways. And now your husband ain't that attractive like he used to be. And your wife's food ain't that good. I'm just playing. Please, please. No one told me that. Amen. But then you realize, here's how you know, when you get back in the church, has anybody ever had this happen? You get back in church and the preacher is preaching and it sounds like he's talking just to you. Anybody ever had that happen? Can I see your hands up in the air, please, if that ever happened? Now look around. Y'all been out of church too much. Shame on you. It happens to all of us, right? But we get so comfortable drifting that we forget that God's word is the source of truth, and it resets us and goes, you know what, man, I've been messing up. I didn't even know I was that far out there. So he sets it as a pillar and a foundation of truth. Now here's one thing that I love about this. Even in the Old Testament, God chose not just the spiritual church, but a physical gathering of the church together for a purpose. Now, why did God gather his people? Jesus, since the beginning of the world, wanted his people gathering themselves together to hear him. Number two, write this down, please. I'm moving very quickly. The church serves as a place to hear from God himself. The church serves as a place to hear from God himself. This is why I say, if you want to be successful at Frontier, attend church faithfully, because it is the place where it serves to hear God from God himself. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10. I want to show you in the Word. Deuteronomy chapter 4. This was Old Testament. And this is how God did it in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 4 and 10 says this in the New Living Translation. Never forget the day when you stood before the Lord your God at Mount Sinai, where he told me, this is what God said. God told Moses this, summon the people before me. Wow. Summon the people before me. And listen to what he says next. Read it with me. And I will. How many want to be instructed by God? How many have messed up your life enough? Hello, somebody. You know, I don't know husbands. I don't know wives. You might know this, but you go home and you give your husband's going to put a cabinet together. And then when he's done, you look in the corner and there's a whole bunch of pieces. Someone done messed something up right there. Here's the reality that we've got to get God to help put our lives back together, whether we know it or not. And when God says, if you let me talk to you personally, I will talk to you. And this is what I love, because God does this in the local church. He doesn't know your issue, but in the context of the local church, spiritually, the Holy Spirit begins to move, and he will move a man like me to change the topic to meet your need, because he's instructing you what? Personally. Look what it says as we read on. And as a result, we talked about this last week, then they will what? Come on. Then they will learn to fear me. How many know no one naturally fears God? Most of us are. Matter of fact, I probably made some people angry last week when I said, hey, you should be afraid of God. People are like, God loves me and I love God. There's no fear. If you ever got in touch with God for real, you realize that's a big joker. Look at your neighbor and say, that's a big joker. You don't play with him. But as you learn about him, you learn to fear him. But the word fear here is not just reverence. It is your understanding how deep that guy is. He's huge. And what it says here is that I will personally instruct them, and only then will they learn to fear me as long as they live. And here's an important byproduct. And they will teach their children. Parents, let me say to those, how many are parents in here right now have kids? Let me say to you, when you don't come to church, they won't either. The Lord is trying to use you by coming to church to train your children. And if he can get a hold of your kids, they're going to take a whole lot of load off of you. Hello, somebody. Here's what it says here. When it says, summon the people before me, the word summon in the Hebrew and Greek says ecclesiazo. It means to summon an assembly of people. It is the root word of the New Testament word ecclesia, meaning the church or the called out. God says that you are to assemble yourselves together before me so I can speak to you and speak into your life. What does the Bible say in the New Testament times about God speaking to his people? How does he do it? I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. 4, verse 11. I hope you brought your pens and paper, because this is a Bible study. It's to teach you about how you can reach your full potential. Ephesians 4, 11 tells us how this is going to happen. It says, it is in these gatherings that God will use his leaders. Look at verse 11. Now these are the gifts. Somebody say gifts. That God gave to the church. First the apostle, then the now the word pastor and teacher is a Greek word. It's really one word. It's pastors who teach. So the way that God uses in the New Testament to speak to the local church is through these four great people: the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the pastor who teaches. This is how God ministers to your individual lives. Well, let me say this. It's a mystery, but it works. But what about those that say this argument? If you ever heard this, me and God got a personal relationship. I don't always have to be at church. Have you ever heard anybody say that? You know, me and God going on. I don't really need to be in church. We're cool. It's not that big a deal. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a big deal. No, you got to say it with your head bobbing. It's a big deal. It is. Let me tell you the mindset Paul had to deal with in the New Testament of believers that said that in the New Testament. I want you to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 24. And the apostle, the great apostle Paul, begins to tell you about the mindset of a person who's drifting. Watch this. Hebrews 10, 24 in the King James Version. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Number three, I want you to write this down. The church serves as a place where we are encouraged by other believers. The church serves as a place where we are encouraged by other believers. It is important to have friends. It's important that people look after you and know when you're missing. When you're gone for 3 months and no one knows, something's wrong. Now watch this. Paul says in verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Our job is to provoke one another to say, hey, how you doing with your walk? How's it going? Are you living right? How's your walk with Jesus? Hey, man, you need to be doing some good things. You become, when you go to church, two things should happen. You should become more loving and you should serve others. Look at that verse. Consider one another, provoke unto love and to good works. You should become more loving and should be serving others. Now, if you got a mean person in church, they need to be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But watch this. All of us have responsibility to provoke one another. You don't just say, man, that's just foolish. No, our job is to say, hey, I missed you. How are you doing? How's your walk? But look, here's the mindset. Go to verse 25. Here's what Paul forbade the early church to do. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Let me say the church, you may shock you, but the average church statistic is this, that most believers come every other week. So our church is actually twice the size we are. The average believer comes once every or twice a month, when the reality is we should be gathering weekly, assembling ourselves together to experience the voice of God and to hear. And it says, don't forsake the assembling, the ecclesia, the church together as the manner, meaning it's become a lifestyle. Ladies and gentlemen, don't let that be your lifestyle. Look at your neighbor and say, don't let it be your lifestyle. You've got to say, God wants me to come weekly, attend services weekly, because he has something to say to me. Look what it says. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Number four, write this down as we get ready to close. I hope so. Verse four. The church serves as a place that equips you to reach your full potential. The church is the place that equips you to reach your full potential. Let me say this too. I need to speak to a couple people here. There are some of you that have wealth. Somebody say wealth. You are in the world what we would call a king. You have wealth and finances, and that's your gift. But even in the Old Testament, there was a King Saul. But King Saul could not reach his full potential without the priest Samuel. Somebody say amen. Amen. God intended for all the kings in our marketplace to be partnered with a Saul or a priest in the heavenly place that you could reach your full potential. And if you're a king in the house today and you have finance and that, and you have this passion to give, maybe you're here and you're a giver and that's just your nature. You love to give of finances. Then you need to partner with the priest of the house and decide, how can we produce the kingdom of God and move it forward? Because a priest can't do it without a king, and a king can't do it without a priest. Somebody say amen. Amen. So the reality is this, is that you will reach your full potential. Let me show you what the Bible tells us. And I'll go back to Ephesians 4 and 11. And it says this, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostle, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors who teach. Verse 12, I'm telling you what my responsibility is. I love this. My responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, to help them build up the church, the body of Christ. No. Pastor, you need to understand what your job is. Pastor, it's your job to visit every member. It's your job to go to every hospital visit. No. Let's be honest. It is my job to clean the church, every spot of it. It is my job to count the money. It is my job to pay all the bills. It is my job to do the video. And then when it comes to preaching, it's your job. Deal? No, guys. Let me tell you what the role of the pastor is. And this angers people because most people have gone to church their entire life where they have burnt out their pastors. Where the pastor's doing everything. And I'm used to that. Remember the video? Hey, you know, our church needs to have a ministry. They need to do something. No, you need to do something. I have no mistake about my position. My job is to help you reach your full potential. Can we agree on that? It is not my job to do your job. What if God made you the one person who would start a ministry that will affect the lower hemisphere of the planet? That is your responsibility to do that. My job is to equip you so that you can reach your full potential. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, God calls me a gift. I don't say that because I feel like I'm a gift. I'm humbled in my position. But my job is very clear, to equip you. You know, the word equip there means to furnish. When I grew up in college, I got an apartment, but I had no furniture in there. The job of the local pastor is to equip you and put furniture in your house so you can start inviting people to do life with you. My job is to help you look good, to help you know the word of God so that you can reach your full potential. Please stop fussing about what the church isn't doing. Is there anybody out there? Can I get an amen from somebody? Amen. Can I get an amen from this side over here? Amen. Can I get a hallelujah over here? Hallelujah. Amen. Listen. We've got to say, I'm not looking for the church to do it. God, what are you putting in my heart? Amen. Because I guarantee you, God put something in your heart that only you can accomplish. And my job, according to this verse, is this. Look at this. It says, my responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to do what? I can never build this church. Can never do it. You know what was funny? And I'll close on this. I'll keep saying that until I close. You know, when I was gone for 2 weeks. Did you notice? I was gone. Some people came to church, asked the question, is pastor preaching? And you know what they did when they found out I wasn't here? They got back in their vehicle and drove off. Can we look at the Bible? My job is to equip the body of Christ to build up the church. And if God told me, Minister John, come here. If God said to me, this Sunday, I want Minister John to preach the gospel because I've given him a word for the church, and you don't see me, but you see him, you go, well, you know, they ain't Pastor Steve, so I ain't coming. Remember what we said. God wants to speak to you personally. Doesn't matter whether he's white or black, whether he's short or tall, whether he's good looking or... No, I'm just kidding. I was talking about me. It doesn't matter. Because if God is the one who's speaking, it doesn't matter who he's speaking through. You can build up the church, ladies and gentlemen, by using your gifts and talents to build up those around you. But you can't do that if you don't attend faithfully. I want you to think in terms, I'll close with this story. I hate when people do that. I'm doing it right now. I remember this guy who came to our church, and he would always come and always come. And then the day he doesn't show up, God just hit the building, right? He'd come, we'd tell him, man, I missed it. And then again, we go, he's faithful. He decides not to come. God hits the building. And then he's getting angry at God. How many know the day you don't feel like going is the day you need to show up? Hello, somebody. Listen, you ain't hearing nothing else I've said all day. The day you don't feel like going is the day you better show up. I don't care if you got flip-flops, you got honey bunny shoes. I don't care what kind of shoes you weave or no weave, show up. I shouldn't have said that. There's some people like, weave, what's a weave? What's a weave? What's a weave? Church, the first step to discovering your full potential and to succeed here at this church is to attend weekend services faithfully. It's number one. That's what God told me that would help you reach your full potential. If you're not coming faithfully, make a decision in this season on to come faithfully every weekend. Attend, and on top of that, invite somebody to come along with you. Won't you stand to your feet?